It's a pleasure to be presenting this afternoon on the CSUN 2008 conference. CSUN stands for the California State University at Northridge, and it's one of the largest, if not the largest, disability and technology conference that's held every year. This year was the 23rd annual CSUN conference. Next year will be the 24th, and it's typically in March. For instance, next year will be March 16th to the 21st. A couple things about it, a few quick statistics. There's about 4,530 attendees and about 300 sessions and a good number of exhibitors as well. It's mainly targeted at professionals in the assistive technology, or often called AT, field, as well as people in mainstream companies who are trying to support accessibility or people with disabilities. And there's also a lot of educational institutions, rehab agencies, and nonprofit organizations represented. It's a cross-disability conference, although as far as blindness, there is a pretty high focus on blindness assistive technology at the show. It's also kind of expensive. The registration fee, if you don't do any of the pre-conference workshops, is about $400. About 5 nights in a hotel in LA, which is kind of the minimum if you're from the East Coast, and you don't want to do the pre-conference, but just attend the Wednesday. You'd arrive Tuesday and attend Wednesday to Saturday. That's going to run you about $800, although it could be a little less. Your airline ticket from here, given how prices are going up, I said $450, so, you know, maybe you'd get something for less. And throw in another $150 for incidentals, and you're up to $1,800. Now, that doesn't mean that you absolutely would spend $1,800. You know, maybe you'd get away with $15, but it's a lot more expensive than some of the consumer shows, which, to some extent, keeps people from going. We're not going to have time to get through everything CSUN related, but your handout points you to something called a drop. It's a service called drop.io. That's their web domain, and it's pronounced Dropio. And it's basically a file storage and collaboration website where you set up these collaboration or storage areas. It's kind of one of those web 2.0 things where they have the service and you kind of figure out how you'll use it. You don't necessarily know when you first get started with it. This little collaboration or work area is called a drop. So in this drop or work area, I've already put a number of links and audio files and different materials. That address is http://drop.io/vibug1200008, which is today's date. So you can go to that website and access a number of materials, some of which, but not all, we'll talk about this afternoon. And in fact, we have a couple of people that we've prearranged with through the Dropio service to say hello to us this afternoon.
Item, same page link, listen.
So I'm on the website now, and I'm going to hit the listen link, and let's hear who wants to say hello.
Listen, same page link.
Hi, Mike, here, and everyone. This is Jonathan Mosen from Freedom Scientific, and I'm speaking to you from my home office here in New Zealand, and it's a real pleasure to be having a chat with you, albeit virtually, at Vibug, because my interest in Vibug goes a long way back. About 20 years ago, I set up a bulletin board here in New Zealand called the Out of Sight BBS. This is long before the internet really became mainstream. And we used to connect to the BlinkLink bulletin board, which was run by the late and great Willie Wilson, and we would get his FidoNet Echo. And I realize that a number of you probably have no clue about FidoNet and echoes and those sorts of things. It's ancient technology. But I used to follow Vibug and the presentations that it gave with a lot of interest. And then, of course, when some of those presentations started appearing on the web, well, that was fantastic. So it's really great to be chatting with you. And I hope that sometime we can do this in person and not just virtually. We had a really successful CSUN 2008. One of the things that I was doing there was to give a presentation on two of the days of CSUN on going beyond the basics of PacMate Omni. PacMate Omni is our latest revision of PacMate. It's a hardware and a software change. Software-wise, we've taken it up to Windows Mobile version 6.0, and hardware-wise, we've got a 128 megabyte flash disk on board now, and it means that if you reset the PacMate, then you don't lose your data, which is a big improvement. We also have features such as PowerPoint support, Microsoft push email. We work directly with Hotmail and Windows Live Mail right in your inbox, and a whole bunch of cool features like that. And at CSUN, we we took the opportunity to talk about some of the more advanced things that you can do with the PacMate Omni. I was demonstrating how you can control your Windows Media PC from anywhere using a PacMate Omni. So you're able to watch live TV, you're able to schedule recordings, browse your program guide, and find out what's on and record all from any remote location in the world. We also showed how the PacMate Omni can talk to Slingbox, which is a piece of hardware that allows you to control any number of infrared-based appliances, such as a DVD player, a cable box, a direct TV box. And we talked about a service called Orb, O-R-B, which allows you to watch TV remotely, listen to internet radio no matter what the format, listen to music on your local computer from any remote location, and all of this on the PacMate Omni in a very familiar JAWS environment. We also this week, so this is hot off the press, have released our FS Reader Daisy Player for PacMate Omni. This does support RFBND material, so if you're a student and you're studying and you need access to RFBND, then PacMate Omni will offer that as well. And we have a very exciting release of PacMate Omni due quite soon, which will do things that people probably thought were impossible on any note-taker device, so it's quite exciting. And we will be showing that at the consumer conventions coming up at the end of June and going on into July. Just before I go, a reminder that we do run our own podcast, which is something that I'm responsible for at Freedom Scientific. That's called FSCast, and it is a program that runs normally about an hour, sometimes a lot longer, depending on the material that we have. And I know that Eric is talking to you about the JAWS and Magic integration that we've been working on. So we're going to be featuring this month a whole range of Magic perspectives, talking with people who are scripting for Magic, people who use Magic in conjunction with JAWS, even one who uses Magic in conjunction with Braille. And so you'll learn about all that we're doing with Magic and all the users are doing. And each month, this podcast comes out towards the end of the month and features what we're doing at Freedom Scientific. So when a new version of JAWS is being planned, as soon as we're able, we talk there about the new features that are coming. Our products like OpenBook and PacMate are featured too, and our low-vision hardware solutions. So if you're interested in what's going on at Freedom Scientific, then I'd encourage you to visit our website at freedomscientific.com, and you can subscribe to FSCast from there, or just download the files one by one if that's what you'd like to do. So yeah, it was a great CSUN. I hope to see some of you there next year. It's a really worthwhile conference. So much technology, so many interesting people to chat with, and it's certainly one of my favorite events on the blindness technology calendar. So I'll bid you a good Saturday morning from New Zealand. I'm recording this a day before you'll hear it, but it's Saturday anyway, such as the marvels of time travel or something. Have a really great meeting, and thanks for this opportunity.
So with that, I'll tell you that also Eric Damery has a similar recording focusing more on JAWS and Magic, and if you want to listen to that, you can go to that website that's on your handouts. He did a similar overview of kind of what's new with that. But let me kind of give you an overview of the week at CSUN. So the conference itself technically runs from Monday to Saturday. Now, on Monday and Tuesday, they have what they call pre-conference workshops. They can either be all day or half day. And again, those are extra. It's about $250 a day, if I'm not mistaken, and about half that for a half day. That's going on Monday and Tuesday. It looks like my computer, it's been on and it's about to die, so before it does, I want to play you one more sound clip.
Land. Heading left, land. 500...
Even if it dies, it's okay.
Hello, Vibuggers. This is Jamal Mazrui, and I wanted to tell you a little bit about CSUN. For anybody who hasn't been before, it's a great way to get a lot of technology study done within a short space of time, both from the official sessions and from going to sessions that the vendors often hold in suites. There is a hefty registration fee for the conference itself, and unfortunately this year I don't think the accommodations were as good for blind people, but hopefully that will change, and hopefully if not at CSUN, we can also find ways of having...
Well, goodbye. At home, you can listen to the rest of Jamal's message, and he talks about a new website that he's launched called nonvisualdevelopment.org.
For those of you who don't know, Jamal was basically the founder of Vibuck, certainly probably the prime mover in getting Vibuck up and running.
Again, basically these pre-conference workshops are Monday, Tuesday. By Tuesday afternoon, you know, a lot of people start coming, you know, not that many people came this year for the pre-conference workshops. There are various receptions and parties at night, and
we can talk about those later.
And then on Wednesday morning is traditionally the keynote opening breakfast, which this year Jim Fruchterman was the keynote speaker. And there's a link to audio and video of his presentation on the Dropio page. So, you know, that starts about 7 o'clock Wednesday morning. And then basically from Wednesday right after that keynote through this time through Saturday at 5, there are a number of sessions going on simultaneously. The link to the official CSUN webpage is also there for you, and you can browse the sessions that went on and give you an idea of what sessions are offered. So at any given time, you know, say 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. or something, there could be 10 or, you know, many more sessions going on. So oftentimes there'll be several that you'd be interested in going to. Now, there were a couple of differences this year. I've been going to CSUN since 2000, and I don't think I've missed a year. The biggest difference this year was that CSUN was at the Marriott, which it's always been at, and the Renaissance, instead of the Marriott and the Hilton. They were kind of vague about why that happened. I think it had to do with a labor dispute with the unions at the Hilton. Kind of a lot of the administrative things changed, and with 4,500 plus people, they're kind of running out of space. Many of the presentation sessions were full, so that, you know, the conference is really growing, and they are kind of running into some administrative issues with that. That being said, still a lot of people stayed at the Hilton. Freedom Scientific actually set up camp there and had their party there, as well as different sessions all day with detailed overviews on JAWS, Magic, and Packmate. And other vendors kind of offered similar things, as Jamal alluded to. They also have exhibit halls, again, this year in the Marriott and the Renaissance. Most of the blindness exhibits were in the Marriott, so basically all the assistive technology companies are there. There's always any number of new product announcements and versions of things coming out, so I'm just going to highlight a few that are especially noteworthy. Humanware is releasing a new GPS device called the Victor Trekker Breeze, or the Trekker Breeze. I'm not sure if it's Victor. And it's going to be a simplified GPS device where it's basically one unit. It's not a PDA and a Bluetooth receiver that you have to pair and set up through a computer. It's literally one unit, and you turn it on and you have satellite connectivity and GPS. Now, the drawback is that it doesn't have as many features. For instance, you can't plan a route in the same way that you could with traditional blindness GPSs. But if you just want kind of a basic GPS just to know where am I or what's around me, and you want something that's simple to operate, it might be worth looking into, as may be some of the GPS solutions that will be coming out or are out on cell phones, such as the Nokia N82.
Any idea of the cost of that Humanware thing you said?
Approximately $900.
It's $895.
That was something new. Also, Flextor and/or IRTI are coming out with a new recorder that's supposed to be kind of rival the Stream. It's supposed to be thinner and possibly have better recording features, although I don't think it's really been designed yet, especially the software. And I didn't see it, but I kind of heard about it over there. JTunes has been updated, which is a set of scripts that you can use some features of iTunes, some but not all features. There's a new device called a Braille Sense Plus from GW Micro that's going to be coming out. Although, as of yet, in the current development stage, it doesn't have an RSS reader and a podcast client, which I thought was kind of important. Those are the kinds of things that are coming out, and of course, new versions of programs. Saratech is kind of doing a lot. Their screen reader now has magnification, and they were announcing that. Also, it integrates with both the latest firmware of the Stream, and the Icon can be integrated if you have a Saratech subscription. The Victor Reader Stream, they also released a new software version right around the time of CSUN, which is typical of companies either releasing then or at the time of the summer conventions. Another thing that was different for me this year was that I was involved in two presentations myself, which are on the Dropio page. The first one, in conjunction with Jamal and some other individuals, was called Dueling Operating Systems. So a Windows, Macintosh, and Linux user sat down for a couple of hours and performed various tasks with their computers, and there's a podcast of that available that you can listen to.
Nick won, by the way.
Yes, he did.
Nick won the duel.
I listened.
Could you quickly summarize the other two operating systems?
Linux and
Macintosh.
Yes.
With the Macintosh, they were using VoiceOver, which actually has had some recent enhancements with the newest version of Leopard. I actually did go to two Apple sessions, one that was kind of an overview of how to use VoiceOver. And it's very neat. You can actually use it on any Macintosh, including the part when you open the box and buy the thing and set it up. That whole process is accessible. And then the second presentation I went to had to do with using iTunes on the Mac.
I did that at ATIA.
With VoiceOver. There are also some Mac podcasts. There's one that I recently listened to where a couple basically went from opening the box of the Mac to actually setting it up as a blind person. So if you're interested in the Mac, that's worth checking out. As far as the Linux, they were using Orca. It was a gentleman from Sun. Other than attending some demos, I don't have much experience with Linux and Orca. I do know that they have also a CD that will install the program with speech, but I can put some links up on the page to get more information about that.
Do you have a general impression of how good it is, like not yet, or
with
really
Linux?
I
don't know that it's really that. I mean, it's coming along, but I don't know why you would necessarily.
Massachusetts has been trying to switch over to an open source operating system, and they were supposed to for the state. They were supposed to do that
a year ago.
Yeah. Over a year ago, and they haven't done it yet. And the reason, one of the reasons they haven't done it yet is because it's just not ready for prime time.
Okay. Actually, one little bit of bad news for Massachusetts is that Microsoft Office has been adopted by international standards as the open document format. They would adopt the Microsoft.
The second presentation I did had to do with using blogging, podcasting, and social media tools. That one actually took a lot more preparation work than did the dueling operating systems one because I had to write that one and present it, whereas the other one I just had to sit down and use my computer.
Nick, is there an audio version of that? I saw the slides for that. Do you have an audio recording of that?
I didn't record that one, no. But I'll probably do it again sometime. So instead of using PowerPoint for the slides, I used WordPress, which is a blogging tool, and the slides are available up there along with the links to the various items. It was more on blogging and social networking and kind of just touched on podcasting because that could really be its own. With doing those two, I didn't attend as many sessions as I might have otherwise. And as Jamal alluded to and I did earlier, this year was a little more disorganized and, you know, we'll see if that continues. But still, it was a good conference, a lot of networking. You know, if you're interested in this industry or doing consulting or working with these companies, it's a good opportunity to do that. The sessions are kind of more in depth and more technically oriented than at the consumer conventions. But there's much more material up on that site, and actually you can post files and links up there. And I know we had talked about possibly Vibug trying to send somebody for next year.
At least partially fund to send somebody. We'll have I was thinking about we'd have maybe a raffle, people buy tickets. Reasonably priced tickets. We'll do a drawing, and then we'll be able to put some money toward. We've been able to collect money if we get enough people who pay their dues and whatnot. This raffle will only be open to Vibug members, however.
So in addition, up there, there's a lot of links to blogs and podcasts that were recorded at CSUN. For instance, TNT Consultancy, Brian Hargen from the UK, did a lot of recordings, not just about their products, but other products and interviews. So those are all up there for you.
Cool.
Thank you so much. You can add feeds. I didn't show this, but you can add feeds on the Braille Plus. And you can add them by directly adding the feed, which I recommend most of the time, because sometimes this other process doesn't work. But I went to the add feed menu, and I just typed in freedomscientific.com, and it showed that FS Cast, and I was able to add it immediately and then to download the FS Cast, the most recent FS Cast.
Is there any information about the impact of the Macintosh among the blind and visually impaired community?
I think it's a wonderful, you know, one of the, I went to ATIA, which is a much smaller technology conference recently, and I attended a couple of Mac sessions myself, and they were featuring the iTunes stuff. And my complaint is that You know, while it's nice to have access to iTunes, and while this may become more and more important because there are now universities that are using iTunes to distribute content, one of the problems is that there are a lot of applications that are still not nearly as accessible on the Mac as they are in Windows. And these are the kinds of applications like word processing and spreadsheets and databases and things like that that you really need to get your job done. You don't really need iTunes to get your job done, although as a student you may increasingly need it. But for most of us, iTunes is a luxury. And I did suggest to them privately that they really need to do something more with mainstream kinds of applications that are going to be more usable for people working and you know, for students. Because I just think that it's a wonderful idea, but I'm not sure their priorities are in the right place.
So Windows is still the...
Windows is definitely... Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you have some reason why you need to or want to dabble with the Macintosh.
Right.
There's been kind of a rash of blind people that have all of a sudden switched over to the Mac.
Well, yeah. They've made inroads. I mean, it's definitely getting more accessible.
And it's free. I mean, the screen reader's free.
It's built in. If you buy a Mac Mini and some of the other Intel-based Macs, you can dual boot. And if you have Windows already, you could run Macintosh and, you know, dual boot and then run Windows.
I think it's very user-friendly. I mean, it's not very hard to pick up. That's what I was using.
VoiceOver, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not bad. I mean, I didn't find it difficult. Yeah, although I did find it annoying because you had to hold down two keys almost all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to hold down two keys as you're using your arrow keys because they can't...
used to it. Just
yeah, no, you can get used to it.
Yeah, you can get used to anything.
I mean, I also attended a couple of sessions and it's so easy. And even iTunes and all those things are fun to do it, actually.
I wouldn't make it my primary... screen reader, but it's...
I mean, the people that write screen readers have been at it a lot longer for Windows.
Right.
I mean, they've had 10, 12, 15 years of to kind of go back to what Laura was asking before, is that they've got 10 or 15 years of experience behind them. And Macintosh is, the people in there are just catching up.
Yeah.
So you can't expect the same kind of stuff. As long as that's true, you've got a tremendous amount of inertia to overcome because people will say, well, gee, if I can already get this stuff in Windows, why should I jump ship and go to something where I'll be playing catch-up for another 5 years?
Well, and not only that, but there's another issue, which is you have to look at the percentage of the market. Apple has a much, much smaller percent of the market. They now have actually, if you read some of the business reports, they've actually de-emphasized their computers and more emphasized the things like their iPods and the things that are making them all the money, because their market share is relatively small.
With things like hardware on a Mac, if it's supported, it tends to be easier to set up.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
It's a different paradigm, the way the operating system works.
Nick, did you get a chance to see the new WindowEyes?
Not other than in passing. I know it's going to support scripting, and actually Main Menu is going to be doing some extensive tutorials on how to do that. But that's WindowEyes version 7.